in our lifetime. We run across things that get quoted a lot. You ever notice that? And then eventually, they get misquoted. There was a president who had a saying, and it ended up misquoted, and it talked about walk softly and carry a big stick. But what he actually said was talk softly and carry a big stick. But if you give a community a test, 75% will put in the word walk instead of talk. How does that happen? What do you think? How does that happen? That things get jumbled up. That things get changed. And the next thing you know, everyone or a lot of people are buying into it. We start to follow those who influence us. And if we hear something enough times, we're able to repeat it. When I was in college, I was part of a touring group on behalf of the college, and we did plays during the sermon. We were called the Pulpit Players. And we had 25 plays memorized. And on any given Sunday, we could do any of the plays. The problem was not perfectly. Close, but not quite. So if I gave you the task to memorize 25 plays where you know all the parts, not just your lines, you have to know all the parts because you have to know where you fit in, how long would it take you? Any idea? An hour? Hours. Now? Yeah. Your life journey, your journey of faith, is about repeating and sharing and living something that God speaks to you. The Old Testament reading for this morning, it says, wisdom calls out. Our problem is we keep changing the wisdom words. Now just think about it. In a normal month, where did most of your words come from? Your vocabulary that you use, okay? The sentences that you say. The words in your head that you kind of hear to yourself, and maybe you don't say them all, because sometimes that gets you into real trouble. Okay? Where do those words come from? Do they echo the media? A news anchor? A song? Or songs? You know? Are they words from music, and or words from an opera, or words from a musical? Jana, our youngest daughter, has five children. And you know, when you have five children, they will play the same movie over and over and over. So much so that when Grandma and Grandpa went to visit down in Naples, Florida, Elijah, we were going to watch his favorite movie, and he sat next to us, and he tells us every line. I didn't hear this what was on the TV. I heard Elijah. And he would tell me real quickly what's going to happen next. We learn things by the influencers around us, which include mom and dad, sometimes grandma and grandpa, our school teachers, our classmates, our workmates. You know, it's all in the voices around us. So why would we have a day like today called Trinity Sunday? And the answer is simple. Because we have to make sure who we're listening to more than anybody else. Because we forget. We go to church one day a week, 52 Sundays a year. That is if you have perfect attendance, okay? And you're only here for maybe a worship service and a Sunday school class or the adult Bible class or less. But you're out in the world. You're in your home. And you're listening to a lot of stuff. And if you were to take a quiz on God, how many of you would pass? That's why in the book of Proverbs, a long time ago, God addressed this. And it says, wisdom calls out. There's a fellow by the name of St. Gregory. He wrote a lot of stuff. It's quoted. I have no idea if he's actually quoted accurately. But he said this about ignorance. He said, it is one thing to be ignorant, another to have refused to learn. For to not know is only ignorance. To refuse to learn is pride. You catch that? Wisdom calls out. And why is it we don't know what the wisdom is all about? And the answer is, it's our pride. It sums it up. Our time is too valuable. Our life is too important. I have things to do. There are all these demands on my life. That's why, Pastor, I can only make church one day a month. Okay? Oh, I can't stay. We got to go to coffee. We meet every Sunday morning for coffee about this time. And Pastor, could you get your services a little shorter? Sunday morning is the only day I have to rest. I'm exhausted. I work 5-6 days a week. Then there's mowing and taking care of the house, you know, and everything else. I just don't have time. It's not like I don't believe in God. I just don't have time. And what we have said in all of these kinds of answers and all of these kinds of attitudes is our pride is pretty big, that we are more important than God. And we have all kinds of other ways to do that. And so a long time ago, we established one day, I wasn't alive, but there was established Trinity Sunday. And even some congregations today will read the Athanasian Creed. Have you ever looked at that? It's on page 319 in your hymnal. And it is so long that before you're halfway through it, everybody's out of cadence. And we say it only one Sunday a year when I was growing up, that nobody knows the cadence of the phrases, and so we're just so unfamiliar with it that it just becomes a verbal mess. And the community of worship gets set aside, and it becomes just a community of noise. Go to the internet and read it sometime. Read it out loud. Read it at your own pace. And you'll see what it's trying to teach you. It teaches you what God's word teaches you. It calls out to you to remind you that there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but we don't have three gods. There's only one eternal God, a God who had no beginning and will have no end. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Sports teams haven't had a beginning yet. they're having trouble getting started. And yet we will be more excited and more adamant about our favorite team than so often we are about God. We are more willing to quote the news or what people think is news than we are to listen to God and repeat what he teaches us. And he teaches us a lot. He teaches us about marriage, about parenting, about financial management. He teaches us about what our core values really can be and ought to be as we are alive in Christ. He teaches us about what real love is instead of self-centered love or love that is manipulative. He teaches us about service and humility instead of selfishness and self-centeredness and entitlement. He teaches us so many things that are, I would sum up, contrary, right, to the culture of the day. He teaches us about our sexuality. He teaches us about our identity, who we are in Christ is more important than who we think we are in trying to find ourselves. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love, right? You know, if I have this and that but have not love, I'm nothing. Do you recognize that it's talking about two things all in the same word? It is about love, but it's about God. The Bible tells us God is love, right? So imagine just, you know, putting the word God in there. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not God, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not God, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not God, I gain nothing. But do our words of today really reflect God? Today's an awesome day that we're reminded that God is eternal, no beginning, no end. That God is the authority. God is the authority, capital T. There is no authority beyond him. Physicists, doctors, scientists, and all those who discovered stuff did not discover something that was true that God did not already know. You go to the doctor and you say, "Tell me the test results." God knew before the test. Wherever you go, God is. And God is the almighty power. There is no power in the universe. Or as some people think, there's universes. Okay? There is no power greater than his. God is the author of the law. And the one who holds us accountable. God, who is the one who planned and implements the gospel, not only in sending his son, but in sending the Holy Spirit so that you and I would have faith. Every Sunday is about God, one aspect of God, whether it focuses on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit, or whether it's, you know, Christmas in Jesus Christ, Easter and the resurrection. Every Sunday is about God. Every Sunday is wisdom calling out to give you words for not only to hold in your heart and your mind, but words to repeat so that you may sound different than the world. You are to be different not only in the lack of profanity and vulgarity, but you are to be different in terms of how you live and why you live. The confusion in our world today, I think, is us. I think it's the silence of the Christian church refusing to repeat the wisdom of God because it doesn't fit in. So now we have churches, congregations, trying to look cool. Wouldn't dare be caught in a white dress. You know. But they have to have blue jeans and a sports coat, cowboy boots, you know, and what have you. Looking cool. But if the message isn't what God said, the message is nothing. Do you understand? If the message of the music, no matter what the temple of the music is, isn't what God said, then it's nothing. If the message of your words in the liturgy is not to God, then those words are nothing. Today's an awesome day. Where wisdom calls out to you and I so that we may be brought back to focus and not be so foolish. Because we don't have to be foolish. For anybody as old as I am or older, how many times, I've lost count, have you ever smacked yourself on the head and go, boy, I should have known that. Right? Well, as Christians, we all do that when we confess our sins. I should have known that was wrong. Because God tells us. And we pass on what God tells us from generation to generation in the scriptures. And if we aren't speaking the scriptures in our home, in our private life, then there are no words to pass on that are from God. It's just the songs of today and the world around us. It's the message of what's hip, cool, satisfying, and ear-pleasing. And it's a mess. How many of you like the politics of today? It's a mess. How many of you love the morality of today? It's a mess. How many of you love how life is treasured in its way in our communities? I don't see any hands going up. Why do we know there's a better way? It's because wisdom called out. The Father was at creation, and the Son is the Word that spoke. Let there be, and it was good. The Word became flesh, and that was Christmas. And that Word dwelt on earth, and it revealed the Father's will in a confusing world. And then when Jesus Christ ascended to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit has been bringing this word to remembrance to God's people ever since. The wisdom of God, Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit calls out. And it speaks to your heart and to your mind. And now we come back to St. Gregory's quote, isn't it? If we're ignorant, that's just ignorance, right? But if we refuse to learn what wisdom is called out by God, that is a pride issue. And today is a day to exalt God, to lift him up, to praise his name. And today is a day to be humble before the Lord because we recognize we don't know everything. And sometimes we do the exact opposite of what we know. Mom used to tell you, don't touch that, it's hot. What did you do? Yeah. God says, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself and hurt others. And what do? Oh. The wisdom of God calls out with his love, his mercy, and his truth. And if there was ever a reason to praise him, that's pretty good, isn't it? For the mercy of the Lord endures forever. He's still talking. Just think about it. If somebody didn't listen to you and your wisdom as much as you didn't listen to God, would you be still talking to him? Right? The Lord our God is a mighty God, a powerful God, and a gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's still talking. May we listen to the wisdom that calls out. Amen.